Good morning, brothers and sisters. Shalom and the Lord bless you richly. Welcome to Daily Devotion once more. Brother Jason Zima here, welcoming you once more, believing and trusting that the Lord is with you and is blessing you and is keeping you. Apologies, it's a rainy day today. We're still enjoying the miracle of the rains. So I hope you can hear me clearly. I'm trying to position myself where I could be audible enough. All right, as we start, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So when we started out on Monday, we explained that there are two ways, there are two forms that the enemy is overcome, and that is by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony. Now here we've seen that the blood of the Lamb represents salvation. A person without salvation can never give a testimony. You need to have the salvation, you need to be born again, you need to be saved. And then your word, your experience, the testimony is your experience. Now we move on today. Yesterday, of course, we looked at two aspects of a testimony or attributes or characteristics. We said they can come from a secondary vessel. And we also said they can be intended for someone we least expect. People whom we think have not received it or have not heard, they receive that. And just to take a note, I made a mistake. I was referring to the book of Ruth. There was Naomi there. Instead of mentioning her name, I was using the name Ruth. Apologies for that. That was on yesterday's recording. So we move on, brothers and sisters. Now, today, we are going to look at testimonies that never come to life. Or the aborting of a testimony. Aborted testimonies, in other words. Now, abortion, this is a word we are familiar with. What is to abort? Now, abortion, I looked up the definitions of the word abortion. A deliberate termination of a human pregnancy, most often performed during the first 28 week of it. The other definition is the expulsion of a fetus from the uterus by natural causes before it is able to survive independently. Natural causes, maybe it's a miscarriage or someone is sick or there was a problem they experienced. It may not be intentional, but it has happened, so that life is lost. Now, we are going to look at a situation where we can find a testimony that somebody wanted to abort in the book of Luke chapter 19. The book of Luke chapter 19, verse 37. Okay. 19:37. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ was entering Jerusalem. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. That's a testimony. They are testifying because they had seen something. Verse 38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, they are saying, Master, let them abort their testimony. Let them kill this baby. Let them terminate this pregnancy. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Hallelujah. Stones would cry out. What does that mean? It means this, the request that the Pharisees were asking was so awkward that lifeless objects would protest. The life that you have, the testimony that you are setting out as a believer, it is so wonderful that if you lose it, even non-believers, even stones, non-believers, they'll protest. I remember when I was a Christian, I didn't know. Most of the times I would talk to my colleagues about faith. I was more like a challenge to them. They would always feel guilty. Others would resist what I would say. Others would ridicule what I said. And then a time came when I backslid. Now, what shocked me since was that the very people that I thought would welcome me to their circles were the very people who were condemning me. They were even telling me that I didn't even belong to their circles. They even told me, what you're doing doesn't suit you. You don't belong here. Can you imagine? The very people you thought would welcome you in their circles, they tell you, what you're doing is not good. The Lord is going to raise a stone. It's the one that is going to tell you, if you abort the testimony, it is going to cry out. Hallelujah. Now, God's family and generations are destroyed by abortion. Hence, now when that is done, the Lord comes down. He's not going to let it just like that. He will not let such an act to be unpunished. Let us look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. This was a life that was aborted. Genesis chapter 4. Look at this. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. If you abort a testimony, you'll be cursed. You will never live a fulfilled life. You'll never have peace. You'll never have rest. You never have joy. You can pretend that you are busy. You can pretend that you are committed with other things. You can give excuses. You can say you have this. As long as you are a child of God and you have, as long as you are born again and you are a child of God, if you abort your testimony, if you terminate it, if you abort that life that God has put in you, it shall be cursed. The way Cain was cursed, the Lord said, you shall be a fugitive, you shall be a vagabond. I have seen believers. Yes, you are a believer. Yes, you are a child of God. But if you cannot testify, you cannot express your faith, you cannot stand up on your faith, what you believe, you cannot take the gospel, you cannot go out there, you cannot express a life, you cannot live an example in your home, you cannot set an example to your wife. You cannot set an example to your children. You cannot set an example to the church. You are going to live a restless life. You have no peace. You have no joy. You'll be one of the most miserable people on earth. But you will not understand where your misery is coming from, because you have done an abortion. You have terminated a life. Because what the Lord has put in us, this wonderful message that we have received, it is supposed to be received. Everyone is supposed to know about it. Everyone should know about baptism. Everyone should know about original sin. Everyone should know about the message of the hour. Everyone should know the position of women in the church. Everyone should know this wonderful revelation, this wonderful grace. If you abort it, if you destroy it, if you terminate that pregnancy, the Lord is going to come down and you will never have a blessing. You can make a profit, but you never enjoy that profit. You never have peace in your life because you have a testimony. And that testimony, He wants you to nurture it. He wants you to keep it properly. He wants you to incubate it until it comes to life, until somebody becomes a reality of your testimony. Brothers and sisters, we are challenged. Now, God, He will find you with a case to answer. Ezekiel chapter 3. As we are concluding, Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if The people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. This is a man who's testifying. A watchman is a testifier. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sword of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Brothers and sisters, we have a duty. We have a job. We have a mandate. And we pray to the Lord that he gives us the grace, the courage. Sometimes it may be intimidating to share our faith, but we need to trust in the Lord. We need to be a prayerful people. We need to seek his presence. If we do, he'll give us the boldness. He'll give us the courage. Like the disciples prayed, the apostles prayed at one time, even after they had already received the Holy Ghost. They came together, they say, they prayed, and their prayer was that they were saying, Lord, we are being threatened, but give us boldness, give us courage. You see, you can pray for courage and boldness so that we can speak your word without fear. And the Bible says the Lord answered the prayer, and there was a power that came down, and this place where they were shook. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit to testify. Hallelujah. So as I end, brothers and sisters, by God's grace, I wanted to share another testimony with you. This also happened on a Saturday. Like I mentioned, we had our prayer and fasting on Saturday. Of course, we were praying for the rains. We also prayed for different requests. Now, during the week, I had made a brief visit to Lusaka. I was in Lusaka the past week from a Monday. I came back on a Friday last week. I didn't know there was a sister who stays somewhere very far, and she heard of a program. She had a child who was sick. This child was swelling and everything. So what happened was she came for prayer, and then when she came, she was told that Brother Nzima is not around, but we are having a prayer and fasting program on Saturday. So this sister decided to stay around. She said, I will not go back home because I don't want to miss the prayer and fasting. So she was waiting through the week, and then on Saturday, she came with the child. Now, as she was coming with the child, the home where she was keeping up, the people there were telling her, they were saying, why are you wasting your time? You are taking your child for prayer instead of taking your child to the hospital. What kind of thinking is that? And as usual, also, this sister was quiet. So when she came to the church, we prayed, and the last request we prayed for was a child. So we came together as a church, we surrounded, we had a prayer of agreement, we brought the child on the middle. As we were praying, the mother was in tears. She was crying. At first, I didn't realize that. But as we kept on, even after the prayer was long gone, the prayer was done, we went to sit down. She was still crying, and she was wiping her tears, you know. Then the following day, when I visited the lady, we met them. I was surprised that they were so happy. The mother was so joyous and happy. So I was wondering, what's happening? So they were saying, you know what? Now, it was very funny because the very people who were speaking to them were seated across. And then they were saying, can you look at my child? Look, the swelling over the night, the swelling stopped. When I woke up in the morning, his face was all right. He came back. The legs were all right. The swelling stopped overnight. And then she said, do you know that those people seated there are the ones who were mocking me that I was bringing the child, and now they have seen the child, but they are not saying anything? So it was quite something. I said, you know, they were very bold to point at them. So we serve a living God. We give him the glory and the honor. The Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. Shalom.